This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
But if you call Carol at 866-823-1077, you ain't going to talk to Carol today. Because Carol is, I think, in bed, suffering under some kind of influence of a cold or a flu or something. So we do wish her to feel better. And I'm glad it wasn't next weekend, because I think she's going to take a couple days and go down and see her mom. So you always hate when you get sick and it's vacation time.
Oh, yeah.
My name is Mike Moore, alongside today of our quick off-the-bench sitting in for Carol, Tracy Gregoire, who is here from the Pulse WTPL. Tracy, thank you on such short notice to be able to join us today.
Always happy to fill in.
And fill in you will. You'll be here at least for the first hour.
I will be.
And we have some guests a little later on. Let me just run down what we've got planned today. Tracy and I will just kind of catch up on stuff, hit some basic food news and other tidbits, then get into the comedy cold cuts segment, which is always fun. And at 1 o'clock, Carla Snow, who is a wine expert. And, you know, wine is one of those mysterious things. Either you love it or you're scared to death of it. Where do you fit into that category?
I love it very much. In fact, maybe I could stick around. No, I can't. Darn.
Sure you can.
I will definitely have to get to my car very quickly so I can listen to that segment, because I am very much a wine lover.
So it doesn't, I mean, you know a Chardonnay from a Pinot Noir.
I didn't say I was a wine expert.
Oh, well.
But it doesn't scare me, though.
Okay,
it doesn't
good.
Scare me. I like to learn about it and sample it and sample as much as I can to learn about it.
Sure. Early and often in the day when possible. See, that's the thing, is there's so many different kinds, not to mention brands, but types and types of grapes. And when you first start drinking, people say, oh, just give me whatever you're drinking. But, you know, if you drink a little bit more and you look at the bottle and you have something you like, take a picture of it with your phone so you can go to the store and buy it on your own.
Yep.
Have it at home. Try a couple others. Try two or three different Chardonnays. And before you know it, after a little time, you are not intimidated by wine. Wine is meant to be fun. It's not meant to scare you.
And then once you find your favorites, it's you kind of, I don't always stick with it. I like to try new things all the time, but I have definitely, I was a Shiraz girl for a while. That was one of my favorites.
I love Shiraz.
I still do.
Layer
love
Cake
it.
Shiraz is a really good one.
I haven't tried that one. Yep. I'll have to try that one. My favorite lately is Zinfandel, Old Vine Zin.
It's funny. Zinf has been around forever, and I didn't really want to have any when I started, you know, enjoying wine a little bit more. And then I tried a couple of them. I said, oh, my God, this is actually really good.
I'm in the same boat. I never really tried it much. And now it's kind of my go-to lately.
Really? Yeah. Well, we'll talk to Carla Snow about, you know, wine and kind of demystifying it. And then I'm going to give her a little quiz on having her pair various wines with some foods that I am going to throw at her. So you won't be here for that, but you'll be listening.
I'll be listening.
You're on your way to some other destination, I'm sure. And then a woman, a local lady out of Milford, who has a really interesting business going. It's called Health Solution Spice Blends. Mm-hmm. And she actually bought an existing business, a spice blend business, and totally revamped it from kind of retooling the mixtures of the spices and then the packaging and the marketing. And she's really going nuts with this. It's really, really good. She was at the Made in New Hampshire Expo last weekend. Perhaps you saw her.
I did not. I was there, but I didn't happen to come across her table. So is it spice blends that are meant to be healthy, not just flavorful?
Yeah. One of the main things is most of the spice blends do not have any salt and do not have any sugar and do not have, all of them have no MSG. So if you find the right spice blends, you don't need those things most of the time.
Okay.
And they're prepackaged. So it keeps you from going to that cumbersome spice rack where you've got 800 bottles and you know they all expired 3 years ago.
Yes.
And don't taste very good. So she's solved that problem.
I do have a favorite spice blend, though it does have salt in it, and they were actually made in New Hampshire as well. Oh my gosh, I'm going to draw a blank now. Can't Mix.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and that's kind of, it's nice to find something that everything's all in one container,
yes.
And you don't have to do, like you said, the guessing, and you just put on everything, and it's great.
I mean,
so I'll have to check hers out.
If you're a busy working mom, or you just don't really want to get into all the spice measuring, you know, an eighth of a spoon of this, a pinch of that, a half a teaspoon of that, this is all done for you. So she calls herself a lazy cook, and, you know, it's kind of in a self-deprecating way, but...
Well, that's what I was going to say. You were safe if you're a working mom and don't have the time. Yeah. I was thinking more if you're lazy or if you don't even know what you're doing, it's beneficial.
That too.
That's kind of where I fall in. I'm not lazy, but I don't know what I'm doing when it comes to all that stuff. So I like somebody to do it for me.
So we'll do wine and we'll do spice next hour. Later in this hour, of course, Comedy Cold Cuts. Food for Thought is brought to you by Express Jewelry on South Main and Concord, ExpressJewelryNH.com, and Puerto Vallarta Mexican Grill on 2nd Street in Manchester, PuertoVallartaGrill.com. Forget it. You'll never spell it. Just go there. The food is much better in person than it is on the Internet.
And it is actually Puerto Vallarta MGrill.com.
Oh, we'll see.
There's an M in there for Mexican.
Oh, is that?
It's not spelled out yet.
Probably because Puerto Vallarta was already taken, or there's probably a Puerto Vallarta grill somewhere else in the country. So that's going to throw some people off, but at least if you Google it, it's probably going to show up. And we also want to thank our sponsor, Integrity Health Coaching Solutions, Bedford and Londonderry, IntegrityFit.com, your coaching solutions company. And once again, Carol Lawrence, my co-host, is away today. She never is off, and she's never sick. And
she's not.
Very healthy, and...
Feel better, Carol.
We miss you. They put me in charge of all the controls today. Now, in my many, many years of radio, I'm usually the person that's running the controls, and this is a really simple system. So thank God, because I'm not I'm pretty much a moron.
Well, I'm glad you know what you're doing, because I have never sat in that chair before, and it would really be sad if it was up to me.
Not to worry. She is Tracy Gregoire, who fills in from time to time, works at the Pulse, WTPL. 1077. All right, so I have to follow up on a story that I shared yesterday this time. It has nothing to do with food, but in this early segment, we just kind of warm up. We have that cup of coffee. We just chat a little bit at the big Red Arrow Diner Bar Grill or whatever. And I mentioned that I had been I left the studios here on Wednesday, forgetting that when I got here, the first thing I had to do before I left was to get gas, because I was down to like 9 miles, tells you what your range is.
Yeah.
So I'm on my way back to Southern. I live down in the Windham area, and I look down and it's a big zero there. So now in this particular case, as I mentioned yesterday, I took Mammoth Road instead of 93, where there'd be fewer chances probably to pull off and get gas. And that was the case. So I'm at the top of a hill, and I realize that within about a half a mile, there's a mobile station on the left. And I figure, all right, so I can coast. And if I have enough momentum going, then I probably can just coast right into the, in case I run out, and then fill it up. All right, so no problem. I get into the gas station. Here's the mysterious part. I fill it up. Now, my gas tank holds 15.9 gallons. I had to pull out the book from the glove box to check. But the gas, I only took 13.3 gallons. And it was filled up. I mean, I could see it right up at the top, you know, where you put the nozzle in. So I clearly had almost 3 gallons of gas left, even though it said zero.
So that is very reassuring, because I do that way too often.
Oh, do you? It's only the second time I've done that.
Bothers my husband to no end, and he says it's very bad for your engine actually to do that in the wintertime when it's cold, to let it get down, because he'll like, oh, you need gas. I'm like, I've got 50 miles left till I need gas. No, I don't. He's like, you can't do that. You gotta fill it up and not let it get that low. And you know, I'll be driving and I'm like, oh yeah, I still got 10 miles before I need gas. I'm good. So now we actually have 3 more miles after it says zero. I feel very reassured.
Well, three gallons.
Well, 3 gallons, so more miles.
In my particular case, I don't know that I really want to play mileage roulette again, but I figured, where can you go to get answers about this stuff? Of course, you go to Facebook, and you ask people who know nothing about anything what the answer to this is. And I got just a boatload of responses. I said, you know, what does this mean? Do I really have 75 miles left? Based on the mileage of my car, that's about how much more I could have driven. At 13.3 gallons to 15.9. So I have a cousin who works for Ford Motor Company in Detroit, and he said they pretty much design cars that when it gets to zero, you've got about 30 miles typically left. Now, of course, it's going to vary from car to car, and who wants to take that chance? But in my case, I know there was three more gallons left. So
I am so happy that you shared that.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Tracy's husband, because now she's going to be totally... throwing that in your face every time. Well, Mike said...
here's what's gonna it's gonna do for me and anybody else who might be like me. It's just gonna take that pressure away. So when it says, if I happen to accidentally get down to, you know, 10 miles left to go, I'm not gonna be heart pounding, oh my God, I need gas, which has happened fairly recently with my children in the car. Honey, I hope you're not listening. But it would just take the stress off of me now to know, all right, it's okay.
That you're going to be okay.
Yeah, if it gets to zero, it's okay.
But here's what you do. Next time you fill up, and if it's down to like zero or somewhere in that neighborhood, what you want to do is fill it up and see how many gallons it takes, and then check with your manual to see how many, what the capacity is of your tank.
I'm going to do
that. And that will give you, but you know, don't do it on my word. I'm just saying that's what my cousin who works for Ford Motor Company in Detroit told me about. All right, so you just mentioned, Tracy, that you have children.
I do.
And I'm so glad because I don't really know you all that well, and that's not the kind of thing you typically say. So do you have kids? But in this particular case, I need to know that.
Okay.
Barb's daughter, who is due in about a week and a half, although it really could happen at any day.
Of course.
Posted something on my Facebook wall. I'm going to pull it up and read it, and then I'm going to follow up on it. All right, this is from Bethlyn Furtado, who is due with her little baby girl the first couple days of May. So we're maybe 10 days out, although she could go at any time. So she posts on my wall, I wonder if a dairy lactose-free version would work. Lemon drop cupcakes induce labor. There's a particular store, and I'm going to read this to you. And she needs to have something that is not dairy in nature. But she posted something from a blogger that there's a particular cupcake that can induce labor. So let me share that.
That's
here.
That's very interesting.
I know it is. So this is the blogger. So my sister is very pregnant. She's not due for another 9 days, but she's done. I can't hardly blame her. She works on her feet all day long and then chases a 22-month-old around all night. So she's going to have two kids under 2 years old.
That was exactly mine. Mine
is
were 21
right?
months apart.
Really?
Yep.
The girl is always on the go and quite possibly the hardest worker I know, except maybe my dad, but I suppose that's where she gets it. Since I'm just as anxious to meet my new nephew as she is, okay, probably not as anxious, but close, I thought I would humor her and create a lemon drop cupcake for her. Why, you ask? Because she saw a story about a bakery in Charlottesville, Virginia called Capolino's Crazy Cakes that has credited their lemon drop cupcake with lemon buttercream frosting to induce labor, full term, 19 women so far who have taken this particular lemon drop cupcake. 19 of these women at full term, very, very shortly thereafter, had the kid. It's a lemon pound cake with lemon buttercream frosting, and they claim the fresh lemon juice is the baby-making tonic. So what kind of sister would I be if I didn't do everything I could to replicate the magic cupcake? What are your thoughts on that?
I'm thinking it's quite possible if all of these women were kind of due anyway. Mm-hmm. If you give it to, 40 people and half of them go immediately, like maybe they were going to anyway.
So I just wonder if there is something, and I haven't really studied this, that can tend to induce labor.
There are different things. I haven't done a lot of research on them because I just kind of
let it go. How old
are your kids? Oldest is 13, and my youngest is 11, both boys.
All right, so you're all set with that and nothing?
And my oldest was actually born on his due date, so I wasn't, like, overly anxious, and so I don't think I ever researched that. But I have heard of people doing that, and that they say there's a lot of different things that can induce it. So maybe it does.
Let me ask you this, and this would be a fun topic someday, although we don't have time right now to explore it. Did you have certain cravings during your pregnancies, foods that you really wanted or didn't want?
So the very odd thing when I tell people this, it wasn't necessarily a craving. I was very sick for both of my children up till like 18 weeks, long time.
Oh.
And so there are a lot of things that just didn't sound good to me.
Yes.
And the only thing that I could eat, and wait for the explanation, don't yell at me, was sushi.
Oh.
But I didn't eat raw fish, obviously, because you're not supposed to.
You ate the vegetable sushi.
I would have the smoked salmon mahi, which is smoked salmon, avocado, and cream cheese. And for some reason, it was the only thing that I could stomach. The little place that used to be called Sarah in Goffstown, they knew me by face when I walked in because I had so many, I think they were called Philadelphia mahi rolls, while I was pregnant with both of my kids. So most people, when you tell them, you eat sushi when you were pregnant, they're like, huh? But I did.
How funny is that?
Yep.
Wow.
But not particular cravings.
No.
Not me, no.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Beth Lynn, for sending that along, because it made for some interesting conversation, and it ties in with food. This is Food for Thought on the Pulse WTPL. And before we go to break and get into comedy cold cuts, Tracy, we typically in this early segment at least acknowledge the food holiday.
Yes.
Or holidays.
So today's food holiday is actually a fun one.
Oh, good.
And I learned a little bit about this that I had no idea. National Pigs in a Blanket Day. Fun, right?
Yes.
And kind of appropriate since you had Kevin Cornish from Casey's Rib Shack on today. He does a lot of things I've seen with, actually on his Facebook page, with pigs in a blanket.
Oh, really? So I didn't know that was on the menu there.
I don't know that it's in the menu, but he has a Facebook post at Christmas time. I know it's not Christmas time, but it is hilarious. That is actually like little, it's a nativity scene with meat and sausages wrapped in different things and weaved bacon for a roof. Beautiful. You have to go check it out. So this made me think of him actually because of that. In Scotland, they are actually called kilted sausages.
Oh, okay.
So I thought that was interesting. Variations include wrapping it in bacon or pancakes.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever seen them wrapped in pancakes before.
Oh, sure. Sausage or wrapped it with pancakes.
Okay.
I've definitely seen that.
And also filled with cheese is a variation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I thought this was interesting as well. In Mexico, they take sausage and wrap it in a tortilla and deep fry it.
Yes, yes.
That sounds like my kind
of blanket.
They deep fry it in vegetable oil. And it's called a, I don't know if I'm going to say this right, salchi taco. Comes from the fusion of the words salchicha, which is salsa, and taco. So it's a sausage taco, salchicha.
Wow.
Salchi taco.
Pigs in a blanket day, huh?
Yep.
That's cool. There's actually a song that the comedian Martin Mull did called Pigs in a Blanket. But it's actually not very complimentary. It's it's about a date that he had. And so we'll just leave it right. I said, no, I was aware of that, and I wanted to do it for Comedy Cold Cuts. I said, no, I'm not going to make any friends that way. But we will make friends, and we come back here in just a couple of moments with Comedy Cold Cuts. It's 1230 WTPL, The Pulse 107.7. Tracy Gregoire in for the first hour today for Not Feeling So Well, Carol Lawrence. I'm Mike Morin, and we'll be back on Food for Thought in just a moment.
Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Food for Thought on The Pulse, 107.7 WTPL. I'm Mike Morin. Carol Lawrence is off today, not feeling well. Tracy Gregoire from The Pulse, good enough to sit in and have a little fun for the first hour.
Hello, hello.
And we just found out that your husband is listening, and he will be keeping a close watch on your gas gauge, Tracy. That's the beauty of radio, is you can't get away with anything.
No, but isn't it nice that he cares about me? I fixed that. See how I did that?
Yeah, you just totally turned it around. Our show is brought to you by Belmont Hall and Restaurant on Grove Street, Manchester. BelmontHall.net, top quality foods made fresh for over 50 years. And, of course, we are online at foodforthoughtnh.com, where you can listen to past shows. If you miss something, a recipe or whatever, you can find that. We're on Facebook also at Food for Thought. So check out our social media presence. We're building that. The show is still fairly new on a daily basis, and we're glad that you're here today. So a little segment that I actually started before I came on full time with Carol a few months ago is Comedy Cold Cuts, which, you know, Friday's a day we're all in we try to be in a good mood because the weekend is here, and we try to pick a theme and find some comedy cuts, and they're out there. Sometimes it takes a little while to pull them out of the woodwork.
Every time I have listened, they've made me laugh. So even if you're not having a great Friday, it's a way to turn it into a good Friday.
Well, we're going to try to do that right now. You know, speaking of food holidays, you mentioned today is Pigs in a Blanket Day, which I love pigs in a blanket. Very terrific food. You know, not the healthiest for you, but, you know, it's a good comfort food. Yesterday was National Picnic Day. And when you're on a picnic, typically you have condiments that you add to whatever it is. I mean, condiments kind of go salt, pepper, mustard, ketchup, all those types of things. So our theme today is condiments. And I have very strong feelings about condiments, probably stronger than I should, actually. And if we have time, I'll share them a little bit.
Okay.
But our first comedy cold cut today is actually not stand-up comedy. It's a man in, I want to say Michigan. He's a, are you ready for this?
Yep.
A ketchup collector. His name is Ralph Finch. and he's from the TLC show called My Crazy Obsession. Listen, this is the segment they did on this crazy man who collects ketchup.
All right. Good evening, ladies and germs. What did the ketchup say to the mustard? I relish the fact that you mustered the strength to catch up to me. This is not, I don't think. Knock, knock, who's there? Ketchup. Ketchup who? Catch up with me and I'll tell you.
Bad.
Tough crowd.
Ralph Finch of Farmington Hills, Michigan may know over 300 jokes on the topic, but for him, condiments are no laughing matter. For the last 44 years, this retired copywriter and amateur comedian has been obsessed with only one thing.
Ketchup, 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 ketchup. Ketchup is ketchup. It goes with everything. It's given me pleasure. It takes a fair chunk of my life.
Perfect.
Ralph is the king of ketchup. I can't imagine Ralph's world without ketchup.
In fact, Ralph's obsession has grown so deep that in 2007, he even cashed in his life insurance policy to pay for new additions to his collection.
Go back to about 1804, and one is about 1798, I think, with genuine silver labels.
To date, he has amassed hundreds of ketchup collectibles worth thousands of dollars.
I've been searching for at least 10 years for these crocks and jugs. They're solid. They say ketchup, and they say, I'm serious.
His bottles range from the unusual
banana ketchup. This is kind of weird.
To the expensive.
This was about $1,000. With this, I'm the ketchup king.
To everyday necessities.
Not just bottles, it's everything. Ketchup blankets, pillows, and ketchup articles of clothing.
There's ketchup everywhere.
Well, there you go. That's a man from Michigan. That was his wife who was saying there's ketchup everywhere.
I'm surprised that he's married, actually. Sorry.
Yeah, no, yeah, I'm surprised that she stayed with him. Cashing out the life insurance policy to buy more ketchup paraphernalia?
Still be married to somebody who did that.
Oh, my God. Anyway, this sounds like a kind of a goofy show on TLC, My Crazy Obsession. So there is our first of three cuts. All right, our next one is more traditional stand-up comedy. He's probably the best comedian who talks a lot about food. So we tend to go to Jim Gaffigan from time to time, and this is his conversation, this is his thoughts on ketchup. Jim Gaffigan.
I do wish I was there when they decided on the size of those ketchup packets. I'm not saying I need a gallon, but maybe enough for more than one fry. I always end up opening 20, I look like a heroin addict. I'm gonna party once I get set up here! Has anyone ever used just one ketchup packet? Do you have a half of a quarter of an ounce of ketchup? It's just so darn rich. I need a resealable packet. One that I could store in my purse. They always give you three packets. And you go back up and ask for more. The guy handing them out always treats you like you're taking from his personal stash. Looks like my kids aren't having ketchup tonight. Enjoy, ketchup glutton. Sometimes printed on the ketchup packet, it'll say not for resale. I didn't know that was an issue. I've been to a lot of flea markets, no ketchup packets. You know what? If you're in a position where you have to sell ketchup packets, I don't think that's going to hold you back. We need money, maybe we should sell these ketchup packets. Oh, we can't. It says not for resale. Dang it. If you're lucky, you'll get a ketchup packet that's labeled as fancy ketchup. Ketchup, you're being modest. You're way more than fancy, you're elegant. I know it's all relative, but what kind of life are you leading where you consider ketchup fancy? Well, we ain't rich folk, but on special occasions, I'll break out the ketchup. Grandma's birthday, make her feel like a celebrity. Some fast food places, they have that ketchup pump. It's like a keg. They give you the paper shot glass. I just like to hang around there, try and meet the ladies. Here, I'll pump for you. You come to this Wendy's often? My roommate and I, we got a pony pump back in my dorm. Here's an extra shot for your cute friend. How many shots of ketchup do you get? I usually get like 3, but if I've had a bad day, I'll get 5. My wife thinks I'm trash because I use a lot of ketchup on my sushi. I find it gets rid of the fish flavor. How about those people that don't use ketchup? What are they called again? Al-Qaeda? The upside down bottle of ketchup, have you seen that? Don't you think it's a little embarrassing how long it took us to come up with the upside down bottle? It was only like 6 months ago. Some guy was like, you know, we only use it like this. Why don't we just put the cap on the bottom? Have people been complaining ketchup is hard to get out of the bottle? For like 100 years. I'll talk to our gravity experts. Ketchup is hard to get out of a bottle. You know, I was like, you guys go on without me. Just leave me water. You ever been given one of those tiny ketchup bottles? They're like 90% glass. This is adorable, but I want ketchup, not a Christmas ornament. I'll put this with my other glass menagerie.
Jim Gaffigan and his thoughts on ketchup. And mine are that nothing wrong with it. I just hate to change the flavor of a perfectly good hamburger, a perfectly good French fry. I love the taste of the potato. I don't need it to have any sweet, vinegary, tomatoey fake taste.
I'm with you. I use it for French fries. I have a quick story about ketchup. Just this past weekend, we went on a Boston field trip with my kids, and we were chaperoning a few parents, and there was a little kid sitting next to me, and he's trying to put ketchup on his French fries. And he's shaking it. It's the glass bottle. Shaking it, and nothing comes out. I said, watch this. And I took it, and you may know this trick, but if you hold the bottle sideways and tap the long, narrow neck of it on your finger.
Okay.
It pours out.
It does.
And he says, now these are all really kind of smart kids that I was chaperoning. They're just a group of smart kids that they hang out. He's like, wow, you're a genius. I'm like, yes.
It takes so little sometimes to impress children. But it sounds like you gave the bottle a massage or something. You made the ketchup just want to gush right up.
What happens, it is science. You just tap it on your finger, and it allows air to go over the top, pushes it down, and it just pours out.
Well, that's good to know, except for me, because...
Because you don't use it.
I don't. A couple times a year I will, and once in a while it will be on French fries.
Well, if you ever see somebody doing that...
Yeah.
You do the little trick, and they will think you two are a genius.
Watch this. I'm going to give this bottle of ketchup the Heimlich maneuver and make it spit ketchup at your French fries. All right, we're going to take a break. We still are. Well, you know, when you talk ketchup, you have to give another condiment equal time, and that's mustard. And we will do that when we return. You're listening to Comedy Cold Cut segment. This is Food for Thought on WTPL, The Pulse 107.7, and we'll be right back.
For Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Hello there, it's 12:50 on Food for Thought. Carol Lawrence, my co-host on the air, is off today, not feeling well. We're sending good thoughts and good wishes your way, Carol. If you're listening, you should be napping and not listening to the radio. When you're off, girl. Understand? So thank you to Tracy Gregoire from The Pulse, who has been filling in and having fun with her and getting her thoughts on condiments. Yesterday was National Picnic Day, and so that's why we kind of tied condiments into it for our Comedy Cold Cuts segment. We just did a little something on the ketchup, Jim Gaffigan did, so we have to, by law, the FCC says we have to do it, we have to give equal time to the other major party. In this case, it is mustard. Here is Abbott and Costello.
What is the first thing you buy in a baseball park? Hot dogs. A hot dog. Without mustard. Huh? Without mustard. Mustard goes with the hot dog.
Not with mine.
Mustard was made for the hot dog.
I don't care what the stuff is made for. I'm not going to eat it.
But Lou, mustard and the hot dog go together.
Let them go together. I'm not going to spoil any romance.
Who's talking about romance?
And after all, if I don't like mustard, I don't have to eat it for you or nobody else. I won't even eat it for like a cop.
Oh, well, I didn't know you disliked it. I didn't know. I only asked you the question.
Who do you think you are to tell me to put mustard on a hot dog?
I'm not telling you to do anything, Lou.
If I want to put ketchup on a hot dog, there's no law saying I can't put ketchup on a hot dog.
No, you're right there. I'm not asking.
I don't have to put mustard on a hot dog for you or nobody else.
Put it on. Forget about it.
This is a big question. If I don't want to eat mustard, I don't have to eat it.
Oh, Holly, you don't
want to. Nobody, I'm not going to eat it.
I'm not going to eat it. Keep quiet. So you don't like mustard. Why don't you tell me that in the first place?
Well, I don't like it because it makes me sick.
All right, so you don't want to...
I don't want to walk around the street sick.
I don't want to see you sick.
I mean, after all, I'm a happy kid.
I know.
I love life.
I know you do.
I got a lot of friends of mine. I got little nieces. I got three little nieces, and I help to support those three little nieces.
Well, forget about it.
If I walk around the street sick and I can't go out and get any work and get any money to give my sister for three kids, what's going to happen?
Well, that's going to make a difference.
My three little nieces, they're going to starve to death. They ain't going to eat. Somebody's going to take those three kids and put them in the orphanage asylum.
You're making this too serious.
What way you got to put my three nieces in the orphanage? What did my nieces ever do to you? Well, come on, I would get them on the orphanage.
Now, enough is enough.
After all, I'm able to support them. Did you got no right to put them in the orphanage?
Do you know where mustard comes from?
I don't know, mustard plaster, I don't know.
Not a mustard plaster, they manufacture mustard.
Well, no problem.
Do you know they spend millions of dollars every year just to put up factories to manufacture mustard? Do you know those factories employ thousands and thousands of men just to manufacture mustard? Do you know those men take care of thousands and thousands of families, all on account of mustard? And you, just because you don't like mustard, what do you want them to do? Close those factories down and put all those people out of work?
Are you trying to tell me that all those people are making one little jar of mustard like this just for me?
No, you don't see the way.
Are you trying to tell me that those thousands of people are making one jar of mustard just for me?
I didn't say that.
Well, if they are ready, you can tell them not to make it anymore because I'm not going to eat it. You can lay them off.
I'll lay them off.
Who am I to support thousands of people?
Who's asking you to support?
I can't even get the three little nieces out of the orphanage.
I'll stop that again.
I ain't going to eat mustard for you or nobody
else.
Close
the mustard factories down.
Well, the mustard factory down is right.
Put
I like ketchup.
Put the people out of work.
I'm not putting anybody out of work.
Father's out of work. Husband's out of work.
I'm not putting any husbands out of work.
You don't even know what a husband is.
Yes, I do. A husband is what's left of a sweetheart after the nerve has been killed.
Bud Abbott and Lou Costello, probably out of the 30s or 40s. And
though,
mustard.
Though I watched them when I was a kid.
Did you really?
I did.
I was trying to figure out if they were perhaps even before your time, because you can still find their old videos. But
yeah, they definitely were. But I remember watching them when I was a kid. I love to watch them.
Yeah, they're best known for their "Who's on First" routine.
Yep.
That we played here on the Pulse before opening day. I believe it was opening day for the Boston Red Sox. So there's your comedy cold cuts selection for today. And here's something that you should know. Keep listening to The Pulse for your chance to win our Mother's Day prize package, an overnight stay at Gunstock Inn in Guilford, along with dinner for two at their Schuster's Tavern and Steakhouse. And massage, spa, and health club access are included. Do you know about this?
I do.
Uh-huh.
I do.
So the details are coming soon, and we'll begin taking qualifiers for that.
Yep.
For the 2 weeks leading up to Mother's Day, which is, 2 weeks from this coming Sunday, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And you're a mom, so who wouldn't want to go to Gunstock and get the full
nice, relaxing
full
weekend, full treatment? Yeah. Absolutely.
Tell you what,
anyone.
The Pulse takes care of moms. I've noticed that in my short time here. We have just a little time to take us to break, and then we'll be talking with Carla Snow, who is one of the best-known experts on wine here in the States. So we'll work some beverage in with the comedy here today. Let me throw a trivia question at you and see if you...
I'm so bad at these. Go for it.
Yeah, there's no prize attached, so don't put too much pressure on yourself, Tracy. Mustard and horseradish are the top two condiments in German restaurants. Mustard and horseradish. What condiment is number three in German restaurants?
Mustard? Horseradish.
Give you a cue. It would probably be served with pork, which is a fairly common.
Oh, see, I was gonna say something that's not even a condiment.
Well, but it may be because
I was gonna say sauerkraut, but that's like that because it's a topping kind of. But
yeah, well, I don't know that applesauce is a condiment, but that's what it's being called in this particular case.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay,
so
yeah, I would not have gotten that.
Mustard, horseradish, applesauce, the top three condiments, and I'm questioning what is a definition of a condiment, for God's sake.
Right. So sauerkraut could have fit in there.
That's it. And speaking of mustard, mustard is the second most used spice in the U.S. What is number one?
Salt.
Peppercorns.
Oh.
rounding out the hour. And we're going to learn a lot more about
salt's
spice.
Salt's not a spice, is it?
No. Well, again, technically. I'm questioning now my ability to discern between all these different definitions. We'll be talking to a spice expert in just a few moments. Also going to take a quick break. So Food for Thought, hour number two with Carol and Mike, although Carol is not out today. Tracy Gregoire, thank you so much for filling
Great
in.
Great being here. I love being
Hope
here.
Hope you had some fun, and we'll see everybody on the other side just ahead. The Pulse WTPL 1077 and Food for Thoughts.